but like, I was literally thinking, as a crier, what did I sob the hardest at? It was this.
I literally don't know if I can get through this section without crying talking about this show.
Tara, this is so boring of me. My number one surprise of the year has already been discussed today.
Call me for any other casting, and maybe I'll take a cut next time.
They were just the standouts. They just did that this year. I don't know what else to say.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Off to Broadway, the podcast where we deep dive into anything and everything musical theater. I'm Tara.
I'm Stefania.
And in today's episode, we have reached the end of 2023, so it's time for our year in review. Are we heading into year six of the podcast?
I believe this is our fifth year in review, Tara.
Oh my God.
We're about to hit our fifth birthday. Can you believe?
I can't believe. It's actually crazy.
No, I really agree. I don't know what we thought when we started this, what would be happening, but I don't know if we thought we'd still be here, still be doing this, having maybe one of our best podcast years yet. I don't know if you would agree.
Yeah.
And it's only, you know, we've had some highs, we've had some lows over the past 5 years, but...
No, it's true. I mean, we do have a section of this of like top podcast moment. And when we get there, it's like one of those things that the one that I will speak on, it's like, oh, mm-hmm. Have we kind of made it? I feel like we kind of made it. So here yes. We are with another year
review.
I
went for a more comedic number one, but.
That's great. We need to balance it out. So there's probably going to be tears on this episode anyway. So
we're always down to cry. That's what we come here for a heart to heart, you know, just yes. Our weekly heart to heart.
Exactly. Last year I was watching our old year in review when just before we started doing this, because I know that at the top of the episode we said how many shows that we saw last year. And last year I saw 30 shows. And this year, counting the one that we just booked tickets for, well, we will be booking tickets for right after this, I will have seen 38. So crazy. Wow.
I actually, at the beginning of the year, I started and I placed all my playbills and programs in a pile in order and in preparation for this moment. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just going to show you that pile now. Here are all the spines.
She's thick.
She's thick. There are a lot of blues, you know,
it's a lot of blues. Toned.
A lot of blues. There are 30 playbills programs in here. I am missing two. I did not see, I don't have a playbill program for Retold at the Toronto Public Library or
it was a
community theater.
That one was a QR code this year.
Yes. And the community theater production of A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder that we both saw. So it sits me at 32 and I've got still a time to record two more shows for the year. So that will bring me up to a nice 34 shows for the year.
Which makes sense because I went to New York this year and so I saw those like four extra shows in that time. So yeah. It's crazy. And we will say right off the top.
Six 3 times.
Six what?
Six 3 times. Well. And once or twice. Like, please know that.
Oh, yeah. There's repeats in here. But, like, what's a list without some repeats? If you've been listening to us for the last 5 years, you know we love to see a show twice. But we will say right off the top here, this is something that we'll talk about a bit later as well, but we've been so super lucky this year that most of those shows were gifted to us. So it's been really great to be able to like see a show, review a show, and like be part of that space this year. So it's very exciting.
I agree. Like super, super fortunate. You know, theater going is a bit of an expensive hobby. I know there are always ways to get discount tickets and we take advantage of every single one. This year, as I age out of the 30 under 30, I cry every time. The amount of Instagram messages I've sent being like, does it include people who are 30, though? And next year, it won't even matter.
I'm not quite there yet, but I will be soon.
Next year, you'll be the one being like, does it include people who are 30?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we love a discount ticket, but as it is, you know, 34 shows... paying full price or even at the discount price does get quite expensive. So we're very lucky to be able to, you know, support our theater habit with, you know, press tickets and reviews. So, you know, cannot complain in any way about that.
No, exactly. So as usual with these episodes, we're doing kind of a bit of a ranking of the year. And this year we're going in opposite order and we're starting with performance of the year, and that's the show of the year. And Steph, please explain to the audience why we're doing this.
Well, we're doing this because, as I just said, one of our best years yet. At the same time, I did feel semi-underwhelmed as a theater goer this year. I don't know. There could be two reasons for this. One is that the shows just weren't as good or just like didn't hit me personally as hard. I don't know. The other reason could be, as lucky as we are to see, you know, 34, 38 shows in a year, there is something like there is a jadedness maybe that comes with that. And maybe my goal, I've decided my goal for 2024 is to find the magic in every piece of theater that we see again this year, because I feel like 2023 was hard on me for that. So 2024, we're finding the magic again in shows.
She literally texted me yesterday. Was like, I'm having an existential crisis and I'm going to talk about it on the podcast.
No, sometimes I feel like, do we see too much? Has the joy been taken out?
I will say, especially in the, like, it's so funny because I would say that, like, busy season in general is, like, I don't know, sometimes it's spring, sometimes it's, like, September, but, like, busiest time for us has been the last, like, 2 months, it feels like. Yes. There's been so many openings in the last month alone. If anybody else has been, like, keeping up with, like, Mervish's openings, I swear they've had, like, 5 openings in the last, like, 5 weeks, which is truly insane. So it does sometimes get difficult when you see things, like, back to back to back to back, because you're like, what did I just see? And, like, does this stand out in the way that it should? And if I saw this in, like, May, when I'm not really seeing anything else, would I feel differently? So I do agree in that sense. It is difficult to see things like back to back to back, which is why, like, when we start with, like, this category and thinking about, I know it's going to be on your list and I know we're going to talk about it extensively, but, like, when we talk about our New York trip and how something stood out so far above the others, it's like, oh, we saw shows every single day, but, like, that broke the mold. So you're looking for that to happen, like, every single time, which I don't know is realistic, I get it. Like, I feel the same.
Which brings me to, this is a list of 3. I do have a third one I'm going to pull out, but my top 2 shows of the year, I'm going to pull out the playbills.
Yeah.
Is this a shock to anyone? I'm holding up the playbills. My top 2 shows are Alice in Wonderland, Bad Hat Theaters, Alice in Wonderland, and Merrily We Roll Along on Broadway. Top 2 shows of the year. Tara, you agree?
I agree. I do have a third one, but there was literally, like, this was the first thing that we saw in 2023, like January 6th, 5th, 7th, one of those days. Yeah, and it has stayed with me the entire year, to the point that we are going to see this on December 30th.
It's going to be, like, our final show of 2023 as well.
Yeah. Like, it was so unexpected. And then on the same track, literally rocked my world. I can't even, like, think about the show without, like, literally tearing up. That's how much it rocked my world.
I'm crying right now thinking about both these shows. Like, these were just the best. There's nothing else to say.
But, like, let's start with the 3s first. My third show is a show that also in the moment was such a standout when I saw it. And that is Kimberly Akimbo.
Okay. When I didn't see?
No, I saw this. When did I see this? When did I go to New York? May? No, not May. April. I saw this in April. That trip I saw Parade, this, New York, New York, Bad Cinderella. May she rest in peace.
She didn't make it to the top of the list?
She did make it to an honorable mentions list, though, for something. So we will be talking about Bad Cindy at one point, but this was by far the standout of that trip. This was also, I saw this with my brothers. It was their favorite show of the trip. This show felt like a movie. This is one that I think we talked about it when I saw it, that I would love to see this as a movie because it was done. It was so well done. And it's one of those shows that, like, hits you in the heartstrings, and everybody in that cast is giving an amazing performance. And I remember back when we were talking about this, I was like, I don't know if this show's going to make it. And here we are, December. They won a bunch of Tony Awards. They're still here.
I think they're in the danger zone right now. Gotta be honest.
I agree.
But they've done a wonderful job over a year on Broadway. Like, so yeah. Good.
Did it win Best Musical this year? Am I making that up?
No, it did. It did win Best Musical this
okay.
year.
Okay. Deserved.
Yes. I will say my third show, one we went to together. I don't know if this will be expected or not. Gypsy.
It's my number four.
Number four. No, I just didn't see Kimberly Akimbo, literally. Like,
yeah.
Gypsy, really good. You know, it's considered one of the greatest musicals of all time for a reason. So good. Like, a wonderful production of a great show. Like, no complaints. Amazing Gypsy. Seats. We love a good seat.
Gypsy also, like, broke the mold for us of, like, disappointment at Shaw Festival. And then, like, the next two things we saw, like, Gypsy and Brigadoon were both, like, good. Yeah. So, yeah. Great can't performances. I will speak year. On Gypsy a bit later. But, yeah. It was, I think I had said this in a recent episode, that, like, maybe one of the best things we saw this year. And I agree.
Absolutely. Yeah. Those are my top three, I would say. My number one, I think, is...
Did you rank these? Okay, yeah. I was going to say, this is number one. Hard. So let's talk about number two.
I never want to see this.
I agree.
We were just having a moment when we saw this.
Okay, number two.
Alice in Wonderland. Kind of went in. We had a recommendation. There had been wonderful reviews of this show. We had Robert Marcus on in 2022. He said one of his favorite things that he'd seen was Alice in Wonderland. And so we're like, okay, we got to go. We ended up going the last weekend last year because the scheduling is kind of funny for this show because it is a children's show. So it's a lot of like noon, 4 p.m. performances. So we found one of the only 7 p.m. performances. Literally this year we are going at 4 p.m. because Tess Benger is leaving on December 31st. And we're like, we got to go before she leaves. I'm sure whoever is coming in to play Alice is going to be wonderful, but like, sorry to them. We need to see Tess Benger again.
Well, this was also like a couple days ago. I get a DM from you at like midnight being like, read this caption. And it was Tess saying that she was leaving. And I responded immediately being like, guess we got to see it before December 31st. Yeah, we had heard about that taped Soulpepper performance from Robert. And then also like Vanessa Sears was in this, who we love. And there's a few other people in this that we had just like seen in different Toronto productions like over the year that it was just like familiar faces. But man, I did not expect to cry the way that I cried at this. I did not expect to laugh cry the way that I laugh cried at this. One of the funniest things I've seen this year for sure. And the songs are like, they're just so well done. And I don't even know if when we talked about this briefly as an obsession, I think on our Matilda
episode. We didn't
episode,
do a dedicated episode.
No, because it was closed. And it was funny to think because our Matilda episode was the first episode that we recorded of the year, but that episode did not see the light of day for like 4 months because we kept pushing it. So when we finally did talk about Alice, it was like, oh, this is like something you can actually not see anytime soon. And then to our surprise, it was brought back for the Christmas season year.
I think Jennifer Ryder Shaw broke that to us. We were like, oh, we didn't know that
I
was
think
coming
she
back.
Did. Like, oh. It's just like, I don't know if we shouted out last time, but shout out to Fiona Sauter, who adapted this, is also
Fiona
in this.
Saunders.
It's just so good. It's so good.
Yeah, there's not a lot to say. It's like, you know, a classic story. It's the classic Alice in Wonderland story, but it's framed around, like, the framing device is a classroom of, like, a young girl wondering, you know, what will I do? Who will I be?
Like when I grow up, yeah.
When I grow up, and, you know, then she's, you know, through the looking glass, down the hall. You know, Alice in Wonderland is ripe for adaptation. There have been so many adaptations of it in various ways. But this one, I think, you know, got to the heart of what the story is maybe trying to say. I don't know. Or they're using this story to say something that they wanted to say. And then also, just like, achieved the comedy that is so perfect for it. I still, the tea party scene, when I think of it, I laugh. The croquet scene, just like the little bits, little jokes that are thrown in here. Like I still think of to myself and laugh. We quote to each other all the time. So like so much of this show has stuck with me, and I cannot wait for it to bookend
2023. I know. It's very exciting.
First and last.
First and last. And then we get to this. I literally don't know if I can get through this section without crying talking about the show. I feel like it's very rare that something hits you the way that this hit both of us, to the point at, like, mm-hmm. intermission, we literally could not contain ourselves. We were mm-hmm. sobbing in our seats. Also, like, we will be doing a full episode on Merrily, but it probably won't be until, like, March or maybe even closer to Tony time, because they did just extend until July. Yeah. Oh, we should say, because there is time. When you are listening to this on episode release date, you have, hopefully, they're not sold out yet, you have a week to go see Alice at Soul Pepper. It is closing on January 7th. So go see it. Mm-hmm. Back to this. I think, I don't know what I thought before going in, but sometimes mm-hmm. when you star cast up like this, it's mm-hmm. a questionable thing. Obviously, we had heard that, like, the off-Broadway was out of this world. These three, Daniel Radcliffe, Lindsay Menhez, Jonathan Groff, are, like, the best. But, like, until you see this show, you don't know yeah. how good not just them, but everybody in this entire cast is. I, as you just said about, like, seeing Alice again to bookend the year, I actually don't know that I could see this again, because I don't think I will ever feel the way that I felt in that theater.
No, I agree. To me, you know, it's an interesting show. Like, we'll talk about it more when we, like, really delve into it, but it's an interesting show in that it truly flopped the first time it was on Broadway, like, wasn't yeah. a success. And then people have tried to, you know, crack the code ever since of this show with different productions, different things. And, you know, I don't know exactly what about this production cracked the code. Maybe we're just, like, maybe just the world is in a place for, like, ready for this show right now. I don't know. It's, like, not that complicated a show. I don't know what it was about that time. It's, like, one of the most simple stagings I've ever seen. Like, you know, it's basically, act one is basically just in one apartment set that they just move the dressings on, very, like, very limited set changes in act one. Act two is a little more, but, you know, so, so simple. And yet, what the performers are able to do, what the music is able to do, you know, like, the themes that run through just are there to purposely emotionally wallop you at every moment. you know, and it was just to see, you know, a show about friendship with one of your best friends, you know, it hit us. It hit me anyway. It was a lot. And also worth every penny. Sorry.
I would pay double, triple, whatever we paid to see that again. I, like, obviously, that's a whole separate discussion. Theater should not be as yeah. expensive as Merrily is. No one should be paying $900
to see the show. And we paid less than what people are paying now, because we bought that in that presale.
Yeah, we got in early enough, because even, like, a week after we bought those tickets, our tickets, the exact, like, seats next to us or, like, a row behind us were double, triple. So we got very, very yeah. lucky. We will also say, like, I have not bought a ticket in advance like that in years. Like, it's been so long since I've done something like that. And, you know, it's a risk that someone could be out. We were so lucky that Lindsay was in, because she's been in and out of that show. Yeah.
Oh my God.
For a long time. But yeah, like, literally worth every penny. We were so, like, moved the entire time that, like, at intermission, it's like, gotta buy merch. Like,
yeah, we were, like, risen from, we were pulled from our seats to the merch line. We're like, must purchase merch. I should be wearing my pin, my Merrily pin.
I know, I should also be wearing my pin. No, we'll save it for the Merrily episode. I literally do not know how I will get through that episode, because as soon as we start talking about,
we're, like, crying now,
themes, I will just mm-hmm. not be able. But I saw a TikTok the other day from Grace Akai. Is that her name? Aki? She's in the, like, industry, and she just saw Merrily for the first time. And she was, like, selfie style, filming herself, talking about, like, her thoughts and feelings. She was crying, obviously. And she's like, yeah. If you've ever had friends, this show is for you.
No, it's so true. You know, it was crazy.
It's also, one more thing to say about this is that it's interesting, because we've talked about on this podcast before that, like, it's difficult to listen to the Merrily cast recording without the context, because there's actually so much scripting that's happening on stage. And then, like,
And because of the structure of it going backwards, you're like, the narrative is like harder to follow, or I always found it hard to follow.
But then when you so for that reason, I walked in kind of like not knowing that much, and
knowing like key songs, but not
exactly. And I think that that was the correct way to do that. So if you ever do win a lottery, get a cancellation ticket, I don't think there's a rush line, or spend the money to see this, like, if you haven't listened to it, don't. Just walk in blind and enjoy the whole show, like, for yourself. I will say we were also blessed, because literally 2 days after we came back, the new cast recording came out. And that never happens.
Here we go. Yeah, I think the one thing to know, because I've heard some people don't know, is that it does go backwards through time. So it starts at the end and it ends at the beginning. I think knowing that in advance was helpful. But beyond that, I think you're good. Not knowing.
Yeah.
Or like just being, allowing yourself to be carried along. That's the other thing, you know, sometimes I think the best way to see a show is to go in with very limited expectations, but because of the nature of, you know, who I am as a person and this podcast, but just generally who I am as a person, like, I rarely allow myself to do that. And the moments that I do are mostly the moments where I am able to get swept away. I don't think it's a secret that, like, the top two shows of the year are ones that, you know, were ones that I wasn't super familiar with going into, whether they be original or just cast recordings I hadn't delved into. I don't think it's I don't think it's shocking that that's what was able to, like, grab me the most this year.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, it's so interesting because, like, not only is it the best thing I saw this year, it's maybe one of the best shows I've ever seen ever. So
yeah,
that's very rare. I feel like that happens. It's a good one. And I feel like by extending themselves, they've just really locked their place in for a Tony Award. So
I know. Yeah, I don't think they'll replace. I mean, this is another conversation for another day, but I think once this cast leaves, they'll just close.
They should, because, again, like, the magic that the three of them are creating is pretty special, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to surprise of the year. I do have a couple honorable mentions. Should I save those, or should I do them now?
I think maybe save them, because maybe they'll come up for other people.
Okay, what's your number three surprise?
My number three surprise is going to be Christmases. I know.
Wow.
We obviously had a wonderful time talking to Matt and Katie, but didn't know what to expect when went into it. I feel like it could have gone very wrong. And yet, at the end of the day, the way I can describe the show is I was delighted. I was just so delighted by this show.
It was so funny.
It was so funny. I had a wonderful time. It just got me into the holiday spirit. It's one of the first holiday things I got to do this year. It just brought so much joy to my heart. The music was wonderful. I just had a wonderful time. Like, that's really all there is to it. Daniel Wade, Liam Tobin, AJ Bridell, our best friend.
AJ Bridell is singing the best song in the show.
She's so funny.
And it's accompanied by the best staging in the show. I love that song before we even saw the show, and then to see it staged the way it was staged was great. Yeah, Christmas, this is super fun.
She also absolutely delivered comedy when her fake high ponytail came off during the Act One finale. So much so that I was like, is this part of the show? She was working it so much. I think the answer was no, that was not supposed to happen.
But we saw it was hilarious. How long ago? 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago?
December 7th, so yeah, like two weeks ago.
So like two-ish weeks ago, we saw it with a couple of, like, people that I work with. You better believe that every day we've talked about the ponytail since.
No, it was great. The ponytail was fantastic. She looked amazing, and then when it came off, I cracked myself up. Like, our whole world was dying.
Oh my God,
the pretzel crisps. The pretzel crisps. Shout out to them.
Shout out to Snack Factory for sponsoring Christmases. Shout out to
Snack Factory. I eat pretzel crisps every day at work. I bring them with my hummus, okay? So I was truly pleasantly surprised to see them in a starring role.
Yeah.
And so was the woman in front of me who took her phone to take a picture of the pretzel crisps.
Well, you know, gotta get that photo. You know, if you're listening to this episode on episode release, you have until the 31st to see Christmases, and there are a handful of discounts like out there. No, it's coming out on, this episode's on the 28th. So you have like a, you still have a couple days, to go see Christmases. There's lots of discounts online. So, and they're posting all of them. So,
yeah,
look out for those.
It's delightful. I've sent it to a friend because she was like, we're going to see Chicago maybe, or maybe this other show. And I was like, see this instead.
Take the whole fan. It's for kids too. Yeah.
What was your number three surprise of the year?
My number three surprise of the year, a show that you talked about, but Gypsy. I really did not think that this was going to be as good as it was. Flashback to when we talked about Gypsy and we were both like stunned by the strobe light moment that turns out happens in every version of Gypsy, but it truly moved us to tears in this version of Gypsy. It was just so good. Shaw Festival never disappoints on their sets either. So I don't know. I think because Gypsy and Assassins were supposed to be in the same season in 2020. Yeah, and then obviously Assassins had an issue. So they never put it on. They'll never put it on again. But I didn't think that Gypsy would come back into play. I don't know why. But I'm happy it did. And I'm happy that we got to see it because it really, again, as I said, like broke the mold of what we thought of Shaw Festival shows. And I was very pleasantly surprised by this.
Yeah, I absolutely love Gypsy. But that production had no right to be as good as it was. Like, it just absolutely nailed it. Shaw Festival redeemed itself this year for us.
Yeah.
So we'll see you next summer. We shall see.
I'm looking for a playbill of my next show, but go on.
My number two show is a show that was actually on our most anticipated list of 2023 in our last year in review. We had gotten a chance to talk to the composer of this show, and I was so excited when we got to see Kelly versus Kelly.
Woo-hoo! Surprise of the year. Kelly v. Kelly.
We did an episode on this show. I think that episode maybe came out like a little more lukewarm than I intended it. Like, I don't think it's perfect, but I was so excited to see, as I am with like so many things, so excited to see original Canadian musicals, like blah, 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 this whole list of most, of like surprise of the year. They're all original Canadian musicals. I think the music was really, really wonderful. I think the story that they chose to musicalize was interesting. It was a story that I haven't seen. I haven't seen a story like that musicalized before. Personally, and I liked just the structure of it. Obviously, we have our favorite song, Eugenia at the Tango Club.
Which is called something different, you know, now.
Maybe. Let me see. Is it in here?
I think it's in there, but I can't remember what it's called. Someone different. Yes. Do not be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Dancing is just feeling so good. That song is so good, and it did remain the best song of the entire show.
It's called Al's song, so yes. It doesn't like give away.
Also,
what happened.
I had never been to that theater before, which was
no,
a beautiful
either.
Space.
Main stage,
yeah,
a really beautiful space. So I was so happy to get to see this, and I guess it wasn't a surprise, but it was a surprise how much I enjoyed myself and how excited I was by this. You know. Again, anytime we're seeing homegrown things, original things, anytime we're seeing first productions of things, like, I just get so excited. And that was one of those for me. So, Kelly versus Kelly.
Great. My number two, not a Canadian show, but an original story. My number two surprise is Shucked. I forgot that I saw this year because this year feels like it was 2 years combined. But I feel like I was hesitant on seeing Shucked because, like, I had read reviews and then I was like, oh, I don't know if this show is for me. And then when I got into the theater, I was like, oh, man, this is so funny. And everyone is giving such incredible performances. I think I've talked about it on previous episodes, but, like, my favorite songs, Somebody Will, obviously, like, independently owned. There's like a song that the character Maisie sings. I can't remember what it's called right now, but it's just like such a lovely, fun story. And Shucked is closing, which I think was a little surprising to everybody, especially because, like, they really worked on their marketing for this show in the best way possible. This kind of began, like, it's corn. It's got the juice. This kind of, like, began, like, the musical theater influencer marketing style. Like, it really began with Shucked. I mean, it doesn't always work in terms of, like, ticket sales, but Shucked is going on tour in the new year. So, and I do think it's, like, a perfect tour
show. It did as well
show.
As it could.
Agree.
I think it did, like, I think it would have been shocking for this to be a crazy long-running show.
It's not Phantom of the Opera, but, you know.
No. And, I mean, Phantom isn't even Phantom anymore. But, you know, if people are going to New York and they ask me what to see, and they've asked me what to see this past year... I've recommended Shucked to people. I've said, yeah. I think Shucked is a really fun show, you know, a romp. You'll have a good time, not too serious. You know, you'll leave with a smile. And it's been one, having not seen it, that I have felt comfortable telling people, I think you'll enjoy this one. I think you'll have a good time with this one.
Yeah.
Like a safe recommendation.
It definitely is a safe recommendation. It's kind of like one of those, like, good for everybody type things. I'm just on their website right now. So they're starting their tour... It looks like basically a year from now. It's starting, like, next November.
Okay, wow.
And it's going to 30 cities. So.
Do we think here is one of them? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Not even as, like, an add-on. I don't think it's the vibe.
I don't think it's the David Mirvish vibe. Now that we, you know, hang out with him every opening night, I think I know his energy, and I don't think Shucked is his energy.
Okay, we're at number one. What is your number one surprise of the year?
Tara, this is so boring of me. My number one surprice of the year has already been discussed today. Alice in Wonderland.
Same.
Yeah, so that's that, right? We were so... I don't know why we were shocked, but we were just so shocked. We were just in so much joy. It was one of those ones where at the end... So I try to film the bows of every show... to make a little TikTok. I was in such an emotional state. I was like, it's not appropriate. I can't do my phone right now. I can't look at this. I can't film this. I just couldn't handle it. So that's, if that kind of conveys how I was feeling at the end of the show, I couldn't even social media content create.
This time though.
This time I'll be ready. I'll have tissues. I'll be like, I'll be ready for it.
I do have two honorable mentions. The first one I feel like you'll agree with, and that was the vocal performances in Rock of Ages, because that was truly shocking this year.
I agree. I was shocked. Trevor Cole and AJ Bradell again.
AJ Bradell, bestie.
You know, really, really wonderful. Steffi D. So many wonderful people in that production.
Yeah. And then my second honorable mention was a show that I just saw. It's a play, To Kill a Mockingbird. I saw this on a media night. It was very well done. And I now understand why it won. Did it win? Yeah, why, like, what's her name? Who played Scout on Broadway?
Oh, Celia Keenan Bolger, her Tony.
Yes, I now understand her Tony Award for this role. It was great. It was a really good show. It was only here for like a week and it was pretty much sold out like every single day. So people love To Kill a Mockingbird. David Mirvish loves To Kill a Mockingbird.
It's coming back?
It is coming back in the summer, I believe it's coming back. Okay, let's move on to most emotional moment of the year. Now, you think that these are going to be the same shows, but for me, they're not all the same.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like I'm quite boring in this one. But I am going to, my number three is a different show that hasn't been discussed here today. My third most emotional show of the year, Rent. This is quite obvious because Rent generally is a pretty devastating show.
Yeah.
And this production was a very wonderful production of Rent. Beautiful performances, beautiful orchestrations, great set. But most of all, it just hit hard. During Seasons of Love, they had the house lights up and we're crying and I feel like they could see us. And I was just like overwhelmed. And then at the end, when they brought out the AIDS quilt with the names of all the people connected to the festival. Anyway, I cried. It was an emotional roller coaster. Rent at Stratford Festival this summer. What else is there to say? Anyway, it's so sad. Anyway, the show is so sad.
Wow, tears truly about to fall from my eyes. This tears is the first. Are going. Rent is my number two most emotional for this year. I've seen Rent before. I love Rent. But as you said, there was like something about this production that I feel like, I don't know, just like hit in a different way. Obviously, as you said, Seasons of Love, The Quilt at the End. But my fave, I'll Cover You reprise, Lee Siegel really tore out my heartstrings with that performance. And I saw this twice. I took my parents to see Rent. So it was, yeah, it was exciting to have Rent at Stratford. I feel like we had talked about the fact that seeing Rent on a Stratford Festival list was like something that we probably never thought that we would see. And they did put on a really great show with this one. So that was my number two. My number three, most emotional, a show that we also haven't talked about this year, Yerma.
Wow. That was emotional. It didn't make my list because there are other things that I cried harder at, but
I didn't pick it for crying purposes.
A show I think about literally weekly.
Yes. So that's the thing. I feel like I did not cry during Yerma, but we saw this in what, like February, I want to say?
February.
And this was our first time going to Coal Mine Theater as well. We are hoping to return next year to see Dion, a rock opera. But it's like a small black box theater. Sarah Gadon was in this show. And yeah, like it didn't make me cry, but it definitely evoked emotion. And I have also thought about this every single day since we've seen it. It like sparked really good conversation with like the three of us in our post show ride home. And then I also was like talking about this with some of my coworkers and like just talking about like what a woman goes through and like seeing that like mental state, especially when it comes to like wanting a baby. What a great show. Yerma.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. Wasn't on my list, but like I said, literally think about it at minimum weekly, all the time. It hit. okay, now I'm about to get really boring here, sorry. My number two most emotional show.
Oh my god, could it be Alice?
Okay, but like, I was literally thinking, as a crier, what did I sob the hardest at? It was this. And then my number one, sorry, let's bring her out again.
My number one also. Keep her. If we're talking like, about the number of tears that fell this year, Marilee takes the cake.
Yeah. I started crying so early and literally didn't stop. No. Literally did not stop. At the end.
And then as seen in this episode, as discussed in this episode, we haven't even been able to keep it together talking about the show, so...
Yeah, I was an emotional wreck for all three of those. So there you go. That's that. Emotions. Yeah, I find I cry less now at a show. So if I am crying at a show, because like my heart has been hardened. So now if I'm like crying at a show, like it did something.
It did something right.
It hit. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, boring. Same shows as always. Like, they were just the standouts. They just did that this year. I don't know what else to say.
It's fine. Okay. It's fair. That's why we talked about show of the year at the beginning.
So people could be prepped.
Yeah, so people could be prepped.
Okay, this next one is set of the year. This is an opportunity for me to highlight some different shows with some beautiful sets.
Oh, I can't find one of mine, but it's fine.
Set of the year. Just some of these shows have absolutely stunning production design. And we're going to start with a show that I did not think was very good, but really beautiful set. The Great Gatsby.
Ooh, that's on my list too. It's number two.
Number two. Really, really beautiful set.
While we're here.
That's that.
For The Great Gatsby.
That's all I have to say.
I am date stamping this episode. It's December 22nd. As of today, B-Way Gatsby, and it should be known that the other Great Gatsby, the Florence Great Gatsby, has the handle Gatsby B-Way. So
no,
just
no.
Putting that out there. They did post this photo of Jeremy Jordan with a single spotlight as Gatsby, and they geotagged New York. The rumor is that it's going to the Broadway and that it's opening this season. And if that happens... This will be the 14th musical to open this season. Wild.
There's too much. There's honestly too much happening this season. Everybody needs to hold back. I feel strongly about that. No new shows this season. It's too much.
To me, this like race to open is that they want to beat the other Gatsby. Because I actually think that both of them are Broadway bound.
Sure. They might both be. They probably both are. But I... Trying to win the race at the cost of quality is a mistake, in my opinion. And yeah. If they go to Broadway this season, with what we saw, I'm sure there will be some changes, but with what we saw, in my opinion, with what we saw in November, that's a huge mistake.
I agree. Yeah,
that's all I have to say about that.
But yeah, there's rumors that it's going to the Broadway this season. There was also a casting notice that went up the other day looking for ensemble members saying that all of the leads were already cast. So to me, that means that everybody is transferring over.
Transferring.
There's like maybe a single good song in this show. I don't know. The tone is so weird. We're going to do a full Gatsby episode. It will come out in the new year because we need to discuss it. But I do agree. The sets were gorgeous. So
beautiful
one
stuff.
Thing going
the,
for them.
The way... The pool, like the way that the
pool,
front, the way that the front, like of the stage,
yeah,
was the inside of the pool, and they're like pool ladders, like so creative, so good.
Yeah.
The scene where they go to the cottage and it's like full of flowers,
great,
beautiful. The production
it was
value,
so
beautiful.
Good.
The eyes of TJ Eckelberg or whatever his name is that came on the billboard.
Yeah.
So good. That's exactly what I pictured it to look like. I mean, it looks like the book cover, but that they nailed that.
Yeah.
And that's what, and that's about,
that's really it. That's
it. About it.
yeah, agree. But yeah, that was my number two. So my number three, I can't find my Playbill right now, but it's Brigadoon. We talked about this kind of recently.
That is my number two. That is my number two.
Oh, we flip-flopped.
Yeah. I have it.
I can't remember. It was an obsession for an episode that we did recently, but I just think about the moment when, like, we're getting the intro, there was, like, the scrim that was down, and then the scrim kind of, like, began to become see-through, and we saw all of the little, like, houses, and you turned to me, you were like, that's practical set, and it was practical set. It was so beautiful.
They created the town of Brigadoon.
It was
so
beautiful.
And the way they used perspective, and the people would come out from the back of the town. They'd be in the windows of the houses. There were stairs. I've never seen anything like it.
So good. I feel like we probably have the same number one.
I mean, the number one, I think, for me is obvious.
I think for me, too. And I also can't find my Playbill, even though we just recorded that episode.
Here Lies Love. Like...
Agree.
Again, there's nothing like this. I've never seen anything like this. Probably for a good reason, but I was so happy they tried it, you know?
Which is also crazy because if Gatsby does go into the Broadway, literally cut back to me like 3 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, being like, what show is going to replace Here Lies Love at the Broadway? They have to put it back together.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, like that set just... And part of that set is the audience. Part of that set is the way that the audience moves, that the way that they are included in the show and become kind of the backdrop for the show.
Yeah.
I've literally never seen anything like it. I am so glad we got to experience it. Yeah. It wasn't really like stunning like set pieces. It was more just the way it all worked together and the way it was structured and the places that they had people perform and the screens and the disco balls, you know, like to contrast the set with Brigadoon set, it's so completely opposite, or even Gatsby's set, so completely opposite, but what it was doing is something I've never seen before, and so that's why number one for me.
I agree. I do have a few honorable mentions here. I'm just gonna rile them off. Rock of Ages had a really great set. It was kind of like industrial, a lot of like piping that was used to create like balconies, mm-hmm. which was really fun. In Dreams, which didn't make it anywhere else on this list, but In Dreams had the beautiful banners for the Day of the Dead. So beautiful that projections. Was really pretty. Beautiful projections. I got to shout out my girl, Bad Cinderella, because the sets were gorgeous in that show. They probably put most of their budget there. And then my last one is a show that we just saw, and it's Pride and Prejudice. They were working overtime, moving set pieces in and out. So shout out to them for that.
We didn't do costumes, but do you think you can pick a quick costume?
Ooh,
I have one. I'm going to highlight specifically Jennifer Ryder Shaw's costumes in Spamalot.
In Spamalot.
You know, they're able to be like very creative with that show because it's a little like silly, campy Monty Python. But specifically for her, the way that they accommodated her, you know, pregnant belly, and also it was just so true to the character. That beautiful wedding dress, when we saw Robert 2 weeks before, he's like, she looks like Wonder Woman, and she came out, and I'm like, she does look like Wonder Woman. She looks so good. They put her in that skin-tight suit, and I was like, show it off, girl. The costume designers did an amazing job creating something that was, like, accommodating to her, but also so true to the character. So, shout out to costumes in Spamalot. And all the other costumes, too, but...
Like no, I'm gonna agree with you there on that. My favorite look, we told her, the pants for the wedding outfit. Loved the pants. I remember I turned to you during that. I was like, she's wearing pants. I love the pants. So it was a big moment. And congrats to them because they had their baby girl.
They had their baby. I know.
So yeah. And we know that we'll get to it when we get to our most looking forward to, but like season lists are out, and Jen is listed to be in the ensemble of a couple shows. So, exciting stuff.
Yeah, really great stuff.
Okay, should we move on to performance of the year? Person.
Yes.
I think we should once again hear a few honorable mentions, but I think you're going to cover a couple of them. So let's get to the main list.
Okay, I'll start with my number three. I was lucky enough this year to go see Hamilton on tour. Was it the Philip tour or was it the and
Peggy tour?
I don't remember. It doesn't matter. So I got to see Hamilton here in Toronto two times on a lottery ticket. One Shara won and one my mother won. My mom really wanted to see it again. We saw it in the West End in 2018 together and she really wanted to see it again. So like the last 2 weeks she won that lottery and we went and had a great time. And so the performance I want to shout out is Donald Webber Jr. as Burr. To me, he is the best Burr I have seen. Hamilton actually, I'm sure they'll be very happy to know, becomes my most seen show ever at 5 times this year, 2023.
Congratulations. Welcome to the club. Congratulations to
Hamilton. My second most seen show is 6 at 4 times, also achieved in 2023. And my third most is a tie. I've seen a bunch of things 3 times, like Book of Mormon, Wicked, and Juliet, like a bunch of things. But Hamilton became my number one most seen show at 5 times, and like it deserves that. And Donald Webber Jr.'s Burr, I haven't heard a better Burr. Just absolutely so, his vocal tone is so rich. He's so, you know, suave in this part, and I just absolutely love everything he was doing with it. And sometimes, you know, we don't always say, but sometimes I find tours get a little, you know, messy, scraggly, and this tour was not. This tour was like in tip-top shape. It was in such good shape, and I think him as like one of the leaders of the ship was one of the main reasons for that.
Yeah, he's on my honorable mentions list. I think I saw this like a few weeks, maybe a couple months before you guys saw it, and I remember specifically messaging to be like, holy Donald Webber. And I saw him on Broadway. He was playing, what's Mariah's husband's name? That character.
Reynolds?
James Reynolds. Yeah, he was playing James Reynolds at the time, and I think he was a Hamilton / Burr understudy. But, like, as you said, man, the choices that he makes. I always say this, but, like, the different ways that Burrs do in the final song, like, This Man Will Not Make an Orphan of My Daughter, really tells you everything about the Burr's performance the whole way through. His room where it happens was stunning. It was the best I've ever seen. So, agree. But he did not make my top three list.
Sorry to Don Weber Jr.
My number three performance is from Gypsy, and it's Kate Henning as Mama Rose.
Amazing. Yes, agree. She did not make my list, but agree.
Again, for all reasons stated earlier, we loved this production of Gypsy, and I thought that she did such a great job in the show. The only other production that I've seen is the filmed Amal de Stanton version, and honestly, like, comparable. Like, the Mama Roses, they either are great or they're not, and she was great. So, I really think that she made that show for me.
When you own the stage singing Roses Turn right at the end, you know, you have to go through that whole show, and your showstopper's right at the end. And, like, to nail it in that moment, so good.
Yeah, agree. Okay, your number two.
My number two is actually two performances from the same show, but I'm going to highlight them both here. And I'm going to say, from Rent, Robert Marcus and Andrea Macassette in Rent. A dual award here. Robert Marcus played Mark, and Andrea Macassette played Mimi. One, they have two of the best voices I've ever heard in my life. And they were both absolutely slaying when we saw it. And number two, they both just brought so much heart. You know, we'd seen Andrea do, we'd seen both of them do different things before. We'd seen Andrea do Anne Boleyn, which is such a comedic character, in Six. And I don't know if I expected, you know, the emotions that she was giving me as Mimi. And also, she really gets to wail vocally, like, Out Tonight. Light My Candle, the riffs in Light My Candle. Amazing. And so Robert Marcus, you know, he delivers every single time. Like, I don't know what else to say. He looked like he was having the time of his life in this show. He just embodied Mark so well. We know him maybe a very, very tiny bit, but I feel like him and the character of Mark are such, like, a perfect, like, soulmate match. And so to see him play that part was really special. So I had a wonderful time watching him play Mark. So both Andrea Macassette and Robert Marcus in Rent, my number two performance of the year.
I did put Robert Marcus on my honorable mentions only because I feel like I talk about him too much on this podcast. So I need to give other people credit, but
you'll see how little I care about giving other people credit when we get to my number one. Okay.
Flashback to a year ago when I cast Robert in this role. And I would like to take credit for that going forward. You're welcome, Robert. Call me for any other casting, and maybe I'll take a cut next time. I mean, I don't know how you feel about this, but I would love to see you as Mark Cohen in Rent. So
I would love to play that part. Right. It's like I would love to play that part. But you never know.
My number two. I talked about this when I saw the show. I wanted this person to win the Tony Award for this role, and that is Ali Mazzi in Kimberly Akimbo. Literally one song that she sings is What Does It For Me, although, like, every time that she's on stage is incredible. But her, when she sings Father Time is really when Ali gets to, like, show this, like, super emotional side. She, to me, is, like, a little bit of the heart of that show because she's, like, a struggling mother. Obviously, Bonnie was amazing, too, and won the Tony for that role. But, like, in my heart, it was Ali's award. So I got to give her some credit here instead.
I mean, you know how I feel about Ali Mazzi.
I know.
You know, number one stan here on this podcast. So, absolutely amazing. Love that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you're number one.
I'm here for my number one.
I think we went different.
We're back again.
On Alice? Or is it Merrily? I can't see what you're doing.
I went Alice.
I went Merrily.
In Alice in Wonderland. Oh, wow. Okay, this is good, too. Obviously, lovingly stunning performances in Merrily, too. But Tess Banger in Alice, the way we rescheduled going to see this again because we needed to see her again. Watch, she's out. Like, after we shut
up. No. It's the second last day. Like, it's not going to happen.
The way that she, as an adult woman, embodied a young girl, and it is comedic, it is emotional, it straddles that line so perfectly. The way her body moves, the way she uses her voice, she is the center of that show. Everything kind of rests on her ability to have the audience in her hands. Tess Banger, love you. Can't wait to see you again.
Is it Benger? I think we've been saying it wrong this whole time. I think it's Benger.
I know. I don't know. Is it Benger?
I think it might be.
We should go listen to what Jen said.
I know. I can't remember. I think it might be. I think it might be Benger. But like Tess, come on the podcast. We want to talk to you.
What? Tess Benger. Love you.
Yeah. Okay. My Tarot. Number one is a trio split between Jonathan Groff, Daniel Radcliffe, and Lindsay Mendez. As stated this entire episode, literally nothing better than the three of them on stage together. We did find out the Tony eligibility came out, and we did find out that Jonathan Groff will be considered lead, Daniel and Lindsay will be considered featured. So that will make things interesting coming Tony right time. To me. But I also agree with that. Yeah, I really can't say more at this time without being emotional and talking about the three of them. So we'll save it for our Merrily episode. But all you need to know is this playbill alone and the pictures that they're making in the photo booth to know how great their performances were. I do have two honorable mentions. Tess was also on my list of honorable mentions. But we saw six this year, as you said, and the Canadian queens are really doing a great job. But my honorable mention is Julia Pulo, who's playing Anne Boleyn, because damn is she funny. She is so good in that role.
She's really funny.
Kind of giving a different take to a Boleyn that I've seen before. Yeah. So I really, really enjoyed her performance. And then my second honorable mention is Cliff Cardinal and his performance of As You Like It or The Land Acknowledgement. It was a one-man show. Another one that we kind of walked in literally knowing nothing and left thinking
we
about.
Literally thought we were about to see As You Like It. That's how little we knew.
But I think that's the purpose, right? You're supposed to think that that's what you're seeing.
Absolutely.
It was good. I recommended it to people. Some of my friends from work ended up seeing it and they really enjoyed it too. And it sparked conversation. It was just one of those spark conversation kind of shows and something that I think I'll think about for a while. And he was 100%. Alone up there. So shout out to
him. Every time I hear a Land Acknowledgement, I think about him.
Yeah, same.
I share what he spoke about with people when we talk about Land Acknowledgements. Yeah, I absolutely agree. Back to
He's
six.
Doing another show.
At Crows again, isn't it?
Is
it
back to Crows? Yes, I think it is at Crows again. I don't know. Go talk about six and I'll look up what he's doing.
Look it up. Back to six. Love Julia Pulo, but if I have to give an honorable mention to any of these queens, it is a joint one again, and it is for Maggie LaCasse and Kelsey Kimmel, both of who have played Jane Seymour. On opening night, it was Maggie LaCasse. Amazing, beautiful, stunning. She is from Montreal, so she has that little French accent. So she's giving Celine. She's giving Celine Dion. And then she is currently out of the production, and they've brought in Kelsey Kimmel, who's played the role. She's been an alternate on different tours.
Her voice.
The first time I heard her, crazy, crazy voice. Really, really amazing. And then I saw it again with my whole family. It was my mom's birthday gift. For the whole family, my mom, my dad, me, and my brother, we all went to see Six again. We sat in the fifth row. I've never sat that close for it. And she just sounded so amazing. And I was like, Mom, when did you start crying? Or Mom, did you cry? She's like, yeah, I started crying during Jane Seymour and just till the end. And I was like, wow, it hit her too. No, her voice, absolutely stunning.
When we saw her on Halloween, I had never cried like that in Heart of Stone. The only other time I did was the first time we saw Six in Chicago when we were just so out Shocked. Of body experience. Yeah. Because we double tear wiped at the exact same time. And then when she started singing, I was like, damn, this is giving Abby Mueller energy. The show that Cliff Cardinal is doing is Everyone I Love Has a Terrible Fate Befall Them at Crows. I think it passed. Sorry, everybody.
Oh.
But he did another show. It just ended.
Watch out for him. Watch out for things he does.
Yeah.
As You Like It or The Land Acknowledgement was half stand-up comedy, half spoken word kind of thing.
I lied. He's in another thing.
Okay, tell us, Tara.
He's in Huff. And this is not until April. So.
Okay, coming up.
Yeah, I wonder if he has a bit of a residency with Crows. This is the third thing he's done with them.
Like an ongoing collaboration.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, it's really good. Is that it? Oh, moment of the year.
Top podcast moment of the year. Okay, I have a comedic one for us. Top podcast moment of the year for me is when we recorded our Rock of Ages episode, when we discovered that the app was working.
I'll insert a clip here.
It's changing color. It's changing. You can't see probably, but it's changing color. Purple.
I literally can't believe this is happening red, right purple. Now. I can't believe this is happening.
Oh, here we go. Sing along. Just a sing. It's karaoke. Okay, this is actually very important.
Living in a lonely world.
I think it's over. We're back to this main screen. Wow. The show's over.
What a journey we've been on with this app.
what a journey. No one else knew about the app, but we found out about the app. And the excitement. I literally just deleted the app from my phone very recently.
How dare you?
I was like, I need the space. During Rock of Ages, they had you download this app. Everyone's like, okay, it's just a playbill, whatever, moving on. Then during the episode, we were recording it. It was while a show was happening, you know, downtown. I put my phone just to like show us what the app is doing, and the app, the show is running, the lights are strobing, lyrics are coming up on the screen, we're interacting, and just the fact that it happened during the episode record, and we could not hold it together.
No.
We had the best time, we had the absolute best time working with this app, and it was just one of the funniest moments of the year for me, so absolutely wonderful time. For us, top podcast moment of the year for me.
Yeah. My top podcast moment of the year, I mean, that is a close second. I remember that happening because I'm going through bloopers right now, and I was going to put that in bloopers, but I'm like, it made the episode. So I actually think it's just like...
It's right up there.
Fun, regular times. My top podcast moment, as I said at the beginning of the episode, we are so super grateful to... be gifted so many tickets as part of being this podcast, but something that was like, whoa, we've made it, is we were gifted tickets to the Museum of Broadway in New York, and that is the first like gift in New York that we received, which was so exciting. And also, what an amazing place if you were a theater fan. Like, we were in there for such a long time. The exhibits are amazing. Speaking of Six, I know that's on until February. Milky White is at the Museum of Broadway now, which, like, I'm so sad to have missed Milky White. But, like...
I know.
It was just, like, so... I loved every second of it. Every room was so, like, thoughtfully created and crafted. And, yeah, if you are a theater fan, like, I definitely recommend. And knowing what we know, like, I would have paid to go to that. Like, 100% I would have paid to go to that. It's definitely worth it, in my opinion.
We spent around 2 hours. I think we could have spent even longer, like, if we read every single thing. You know, we took lots of pictures. We looked at, you know, artifacts from different Broadway shows. And, yeah, it was very exciting to be there, you know, as guests, being gifted tickets. That was kind of like another one of the moments. To me, like, the, like, oh, we've made it moment was maybe Six opening night, like, getting to go to Six opening night and going to the after party. That was a crazy after party. Like, check our TikTok for some clips. But,
yeah,
like, going to Six opening night, being part of the opening night festivities, you know, being on the carpet, on the purple carpet, going to the opening night party, just all was like, oh, I think we're accomplishing something. We're doing something here. And it was really, really fun to be able to, you know, be in the room where it happened that night.
It is crazy.
A podcast pinch me moment.
Yeah. It is crazy when you, like, think back, as we said, like, going into, like, our sixth year here, and, like, this all started in the backseat of my car, and now, 6 years later, we're, like, being gifted tickets to go see these shows and review them, and people are actually listening to us. So, again, we say it all the time, but, like, thank you so much for listening. This obviously would not be, like, possible what we're doing if people weren't listening to these episodes. And, yeah, there's many exciting things happening next year, which leads us to our final category, and that's what you're most looking forward to in 2024. So, Steph, what are you looking forward to?
Okay, I've got three things I'm looking forward to. So the first one... this one is a carryover from last year, but we've just bought tickets to see it in January, The Great Comet... 2024 will be probably our first show of 2024, The Great Comet. Cannot wait. Really excited to see that. The set looks amazing. The cast is fantastic. So, you know, first thing of the year. And it's one that has been so anticipated all the way back from, like, 2020.
Yeah. The reason that we're seeing it so late is because this show is so super, super sold out. So...
Yes.
I would say when you're listening to this on episode release day, like, go buy your Comet tickets, but they actually might be gone. So I don't
know. When does it run until? The 28th, 29th?
Something it just like that. Got extended 28th? Again until the 28th. We don't know if there's plans to extend further. But yeah, it's been extended twice now. So
yeah.
Go through your three.
My three. My number two is, we just spoke about it, at Coal Mine Theater, Dion, a rock opera. As I said, I love an original Canadian musical. And this is one that I know we've been kind of like keeping our eye on. So cannot wait to see that in February at Coal Mine Theater.
Yep. Agree.
And my number one show, I don't know, maybe this is unexpected, but as we said, we've had faith in Shaw Festival. It's been restored. So I'm really excited for My Fair Lady at Shaw Festival this summer. I saw My Fair Lady when it was on Broadway back in 2018 with Laura Benanti, one of the most beautiful sets I've ever seen. A beautiful show. And I think My Fair Lady is a perfect selection for Shaw Festival. I think it really works with their kind of mix of classics, but, you know, big productions, but not too classic, like not too, you know, done. I think mm-hmm. My Fair Lady still has really interesting things to say. And I think that's the sweet spot that they need to be in. I think where they like were less successful, not to like really litigate Shaw Festival right now, but, you know, Damn Yankees, Holiday Inn were ones who were just kind of like meh. But with the ones that they chose this year to produce and bring back, I think that fits in that same sweet spot of My Fair Lady. So I'm really excited to see what they do with that.
I agree. That is my third, like, most anticipated thing for 2024. I've never seen My Fair Lady, so I'm excited to finally get to see it. And agree. I think after we saw Gypsy and Brigadoon, we were like, oh, I see the vision for My Fair Lady and Shaw Festival now. So yes, I'm excited for that. My number two is a show that has been on our list for literally years, and I don't know that I'll see it, but I'm still excited for it, and it's The Notebook. It's finally coming to Broadway. I mean, there's a chance I might go to New York in April, but we'll see. But yeah, it's been on my list, I think, for the last like 3 year in reviews, maybe four, of like most anticipated show. I think we thought that we would have seen some iteration by now, but unfortunately we have not. But I cannot wait to see what they do, and I can't wait to hear reviews of it on Broadway, because those out-of-town reviews were so good. So that's my number two. And then my number one is Stratford is putting on Something Rotten, and I'm excited for the return of Dan Shamroy. We missed him this year on stage. So I'm excited to see him back again on stage. I'm excited to see the show. This is a cast recording that I kind of like listened to off and on a lot in 2020. So I'm fairly familiar with it. And I think it's funny that there's like a parody Shakespeare musical happening in the land of Shakespeare.
I do think that's very funny. I think it's like a really like cheeky choice to do Something Rotten at Stratford. I will say the Stratford musical announcements for this year have left me feeling a little bit uninspired. Meh. Like, I don't know if I'm like thrilled for either of these shows. Like,
either show is La Cage aux Folles.
La Cage aux Folles and Something Rotten. But again, these are shows I'm not so familiar with, so maybe they have the absolute best opportunity to surprise me. But yeah, like, I'm not, like, you know, I'm not that excited. Not that I'm not that excited, but these are not, like, inspiring.
No, but it wasn't giving, like, excitement. Rent, you know? We were excited for
Rent. It wasn't
giving
Rent. Yeah. It was not giving Rent.
It is giving a little Spamalot, which...
It is giving Spamalot, which...
I know. Nothing against that cast. We like, everyone was so talented in it. Everyone sounded amazing. The production value was really great. I just, Monty Python humor is just maybe not for me.
Yeah, it is interesting. Whenever I criticize a show, like, I'm never really criticizing the cast, unless I directly am, in which case I am. but yeah, like, that's not what I'm saying. It's just, you know,
unless I'm calling you out for a bad performance, I'm not criticizing you personally.
Unless specifically, I'm, you know what show we haven't discussed in any way here tonight?
What?
Let's talk about my least favorite shows. I have a ranking. What's the worst thing you saw this year?
The worst thing I saw this year?
I actually know what it is.
I gotta put...
I know what it is.
The Back to the Future was the worst thing you saw this year?
No, sorry.
We're not gonna get into this now. We're gonna fight.
No. Back to the Future. Let's Dance. I've also pulled out Let's Dance. Let's Dance is actually the worst thing I saw this year. So much so that we were invited to... We had tickets to the next musical by this production company, and we're like, we're not going. That's how bad.
Yeah, no, Last Dance was also one. The worst thing that I saw this year. Back to the Future was definitely not the worst thing that I saw this year. We cannot fight on this episode about this right now, because we'll it's a later. Lengthy conversation.
I'm ready to fight.
And with that, we are moving on to our final obsession of the week. Okay, Steph, what's your obsession?
Okay. My obsession was a show we were actually talking about before we came on. It is a show I have not seen. It is a show where there's actually, like, such limited information out there. And yet every time I see, like, a snippet of information about it, I become obsessed. And that is the show Stereophonic that played at Playwrights Horizons. It's currently closed. I have read every single article. I've watched every YouTube video. Every YouTube video is literally maximum 45 seconds. I've watched them all. Basically, it's about a band that's, like, loosely based on Fleetwood Mac and the recording of an album that is, again, loosely based on the album Rumours. It is 3 hours long, 3+ hours long.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It has original music. It is 3+ hours long. I was looking into tickets when we were in New York, but the only ones available were the Saturday matinee, and it was, like, an accessible performance. Anyway, not the point. It was a relaxed performance, and I was like, oh, I don't know if I want that. Anyway.
Yeah.
Basically, and the other key part about my obsession is that the music is written by Will Butler of Arcade Fire, and anyone who knows me knows how what
this is not a musical, right? It's a play with music.
No, it's a play. It's a play with music. It's a play about a band. A play about a band, so there is music in it. So the music is by Will Butler, and anyone who, like, knows me in my real life knows what a massive fan of the band Arcade Fire I am. Will Butler, actually no longer a member, he left. Will Butler was a member of the band Arcade Fire, and what I've heard of the music and everything that I've heard from people who've seen it say that the music is absolutely amazing. So I am truly getting by on these 45 second clips on YouTube posted by Playwrights Horizons, to try and sustain me until I can potentially either see the show or an album is out. So yeah, that's what my obsession is into 2024. There's rumors it's going to Broadway next year.
The rumors that it's going to the Golden because The Shark Is Broken is closed and there's nothing else that's going in there right now. So that's the rumor. Which someone said it's a good spot for it because it's, like, one of the smaller theaters for sure.
It's a smaller theater. Yeah, that's the thing. I think, like, a more intimate space is probably best for it. Not that I've seen it. I literally know, like, the 45 crumbs seconds that they have dropped for me. Like, they're Hansel and Gretel, and I am just, like, you know, eating them up. But yeah, so that is what I'm taking into 2024. My Stereophonic hyperfixation on nothing. Tara, what is your obsession you're taking into 2024?
My obsession I'm taking into 2024 should surprise nobody after listening to this entire episode. As I said, literally 2 days after we saw Merrily, the cast recording dropped, and you better believe that I've listened to nothing else but this and 1989 Taylor's version. I swear to God, it's the only thing I've listened to for the last 2 months. 1 month. But my obsession, I could pick many obsessions. We've talked about this, but if you listen to the Merrily cast recording, we have said that, like, there are moments when you can pick each one of their Tony Awards. And I truly believe that, on this album. But my obsession for today is the song Old Friends Like It Was, Lindsay Mendez. Throw all of the awards at her. Her tone on the song is so beautiful. There is a moment at the very end that I specifically am obsessed with. She, like, flips her vocals and it's so beautiful. I love this song. I love this show. And I cannot wait to continue to listen to it all throughout 2024.
Charlie, nothing's the way that it was. I want it the way that it was. God knows things were easy. The way it is, on the way it was, on the way it never, ever was.
No, I agree. That cast album is so good.
The transitions are so good. The orchestrations. It's so good.
How did you get to be here? what was the moment?
You know who we actually didn't shout out in our performance of the year honorable mentions, and like, how dare we not? Because
Crystal Joy Brown. Crystal Joy Brown.
No, the kid, who? Max.
Oh, Max Rockenberg. I am obsessed with him.
They're currently casting for a young what's his name?
Frank Jr. For Frank Jr.
Frank Jr., yeah.
Yes, there is a child in Merrily, which I don't really know if I was aware of before, like, this production. Frank Jr., we had the absolute most adorable child in the world play Frank Jr.
He's on the cast recording. Rockenberg.
I swear I thought he was 5 years old. He is 7. they put them in their pajamas to go home.
Oh, he was it's so the cutest sweet. Thing in the world.
He wears little rainbow Crocs.
Yeah.
There are other childs who there are like two other children who play Frank Jr., but our Frank Jr. was Max Rockenberg, and he is the only Frank Jr. to me.
Yes. He's on the cast recording. If you listen to the final transition, he is the final child voice you hear.
Yes.
Who sings. He can't pronounce it between the two originals. It's so cute.
No. Wawingala.
Literally, when he sang that at the end, me just like weeping, clapping for him.
Yes. It was so cute. So good. It was adorable. A star. An absolute star.
Is star.
And he works really hard. He's got to walk up the stairs by himself. I don't know. He's 7. Like, he can walk up the stairs. But there's, like, the stairs that, like, they don't have a railing. And they're, like, floating stairs. And I was worried for him when he went up and down the stairs all by himself.
I know.
Were you
worried for him? He's got some, like, cute standout moments. There's also an amazing video of, like, opening night of Merrily when he's on the red carpet. And he says that his favorite character is Charlie because Dan is his best friend.
So cute.
I just want to be a part of this cast. I just want to be behind the scenes of this cast so I can... But also Crystal Joy Brown. Shout out.
Crystal Joy Brown. What's his name? Reg? Who's playing Reg?
Reg. Is that... That's not his name.
Joe? I think his name is Joe something.
No, his name is Reg. He plays Joe in the show.
Oh, the character's name is Joe. The actor's name is Reg. I don't know why. I thought those were...
Reg Rogers. Specifically in Opening Doors. His star-making moment.
Yeah.
That's it.
every year, well, we started this off, but I truly do feel, as the person on this podcast who sometimes is like along for the ride, have to acknowledge the work that Tara does so much every year. Every episode is edited by Tara, so anytime I'm saying silly things or my internet sucks, she is fixing that for you.
For those of you that don't know, we are currently recording this episode and Steph is 100% out of sync for me. So I'm not even sure what she's holding up at any moment. It feels like I'm just talking to a wall right now. So here we are. Our final episode
of the year. And Tara has fixed that in post-production. And you don't even notice until she told you, because she is the one putting in so much work. Any Instagram posts that you see, Tara is the one editing and creating those images. And truly, she is the heart of the show. I feel like I just come and bring my personality. And sometimes I send some emails. But really, Tara is the CEO, the COO, the CFO of Off to Broadway.
Wow.
And we couldn't do it without her.
What else can you say about me?
And also, I have to thank Shara, who you never hear, not never, you rarely hear, but is also working behind the scenes. She is writing captions on all our episodes, on wherever you can stream them, on Instagram, on YouTube. All of those are written and posted by her. And we could not do it without her as well.
Agree. You got to get some credit here too. I mean, we've said this every single episode, but like, it's always such a joy to record with you. I look forward to our recording sessions. It used to be like bi-weekly, but now it feels like it's every like once in a while. We're busy. We are busy people.
We're busy people.
But yeah, like,
our lives were in a different place when we started this. Absolutely.
It's so true. It's so true. But it's always a highlight whenever we record, because it's not just like a sit down and chat about shows. It's like a catch up of like life. I love recording with you. I love getting to like nerd out with you. So
let's keep doing it next year.
Another year.
Another year. But again, as I said earlier, thank you to everybody for listening. we really do appreciate our Spotify Wrapped. Is that what it's called? Whatever it's called. We found out that like more of you are listening to us this year than last year. So thank you so much for all of the support, whether it's a like on Instagram, a like on YouTube, or just like listening to the episodes. We appreciate it all. So thank you so much. And with that, if you want to continue listening to our podcast, you can subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also watch us on YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a comment.
And you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Off2BOAPodcast. That's with the number 2. And let us know if there's anything you want us to do or see next year.
And as always, we will be taking January off, so we will see you in February for new episodes.
Bye. Happy New Year.